Welcome to Future Healthcare Today, a digital publication that shares best practices, lessons learned, and strategies for innovative technologies in healthcare that directly address today's challenges. Today we're speaking with Matt Jansen about the highlights in telehealth for 2015 and what we can expect in 2016. Matt is Chief Business Development Specialist for Iron Bow Healthcare Solutions. Welcome, Matt, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Linda. Thanks for having me.
So, Matt, I am very interested to know what your thoughts are on what the highlights have been in telehealth for 2015.
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for roughly, about 10 years now. So I've seen a little bit of some trending and some lessons learned and a lot of things that have from a technology and an adoption and a clinical adoption standpoint start to kind of take a foothold over the past couple of years. And a lot of it over the past year that I've seen, of course, a lot of the headlines that we're reading and that we're seeing really focused around a lot of acquisitions, a lot of merger and acquisitions going on among various types of companies, everything from data analytics to device manufacturers to sensor companies getting funding. So you've seen a big push over the past, say, year at least, really heavily focused on developing more and more infrastructure for what people are starting to see as a very progressive movement in healthcare. We've also witnessed a few of the IPOs, a few of the companies going public in this space. A lot of the on-demand national provider groups have started to really get organized with insurance plans, with employer groups. A lot of the self-insured groups are starting to take a harder look at how they can increase access and lower costs in relation to the healthcare and benefits plans around it, their employees. And, with the some of the other things that have taken place in the system around the ACA, and, I think that's what we're starting to see trending now is the infrastructure is settling in. A lot of people are getting organized. You're starting to see more investment from the healthcare systems, and they're starting to look at things. They're starting to look at things more seriously in relation to readmissions and some of those types of programs. And, really looking at value-based purchasing as well. So tying these things together, it really has made for, I think, a very successful move this year, especially in the telehealth as a business model, as opposed to maybe in the previous years, you saw a lot of grant-funded initiatives, a lot of pilots. Now I feel like we're taking a lot of those pilots to production in the field. So I'm really excited about what we've seen over the past year in 2015.
Well, I was wondering, can you share with us what impact the Healthcare Affordable Care Act's new rollout has had on telehealth?
Yeah, so I like to frame up the ACA a little bit differently. I look at it as like summiting Mount Everest to some extent. So, we're talking about in the healthcare industry, healthcare IT, how do we integrate that? How do we make access to care more efficient? How do we get the providers engaged? How do we get the healthcare systems engaged? How do we get the payers and the CMOs, Medicaid, Medicare, get the infrastructure around healthcare really integrated and working together. And I think that's what the ACA's really the trajectory that the ACA has put us on. So when I think of like healthcare, I think of it's a very complex system. So I've never hiked Everest, but we've watched a lot of recent documentaries, and I've read a couple books in relation to people who've set this kind of trajectory for this type of hike. And really the ACA, because of the complexity behind our healthcare system, set it up a lot like, I would say, like the base camps are set up at Everest. You have to acclimate yourself to various climates, just like you do in healthcare system. So I look at the ACA as kind of like we've committed. It's law. It's set into place. It's not going away. Man, there might be pieces of it that are going to be revised, which in every law, every policy, there's always going to be those types of things. But really, we've committed to it. So we're headed to base camp. So we're already there. We're setting up as the healthcare industry, healthcare systems, the provider groups. And, you know, we're bringing the patients with us. So we're technically the guides, right? So the providers, the healthcare systems, we're the guides. We're now planning this trajectory to bring our camp with us up this, you know, summit to Everest. And so I look at the base camps in a couple different ways. I look at, base stage one, stage two, stage three type of base camps and how they align with maybe meaningful use within the ACA. So the first couple of years or the first year or two, you know, EMR adoption, we've all talked about that. ICD-10 was pushed off a little bit, but was still part of stage one. We didn't quite acclimate well to that, so we pushed it out a little bit further. So we pushed it more into stage two, which is where we are right now. So we're starting to see hospitals react to readmissions and how they're being scored, how they're being repaid, and what does that mean in the stage two base camp kind of atmosphere. And we've also kind of started to move with some of the other players in the healthcare space, like the urgent care centers, retail, physician groups, and we're moving towards stage three, which is going to require a higher percentage of interaction between the patients, direct messaging among providers, bringing in patient data. You know, so these sensor companies, the companies that are racing to the market with various types of Fitbits and sensor type technologies that can integrate within your health record and provide, you know, what I consider, you know, continuous monitoring of, you know, either everything from a healthy person to a highly chronically ill person who's high risk for going back into the ERs. So, you know, we're starting to coalesce, which is a good thing. There's still business models being put in place. There's wellness models being articulated for some of these groups to make sense of. And we're seeing, you know, the ACA is kind of a facilitator of that. And, you know, we still got the patients with us as we're summiting this very difficult route, which I would consider is, you know, the summit would be the home. You know, getting care as close to home as possible, integrated into the local communities as much as possible, and really telehealth being kind of the guiding or at least the anchorage or the anchors to the route as we're starting to kind of summit this type of event that's going on in healthcare right now. So I know that was a little bit of a descriptor there of how I feel the ACA and how it's being rolled out in healthcare and what I think it means to not only just healthcare in general, but the people that are also experiencing this from the providers to the patients directly, and how we're going to put the patients at the center of the healthcare model is part of this transition, you know, summiting this very complex system and systems together is kind of where I see us hopefully moving to faster and faster as we learned to kind of work together in these different areas.
You know, you were talking about summits and guides, and one of my favorite words is Sherpa. It's such a great word. You might want to think about using that word to describe sort of people who are the guides or even approaches that really are the the forward-thinking front runners on these kinds of issues that you were talking about. And I was just wondering, you were talking about, you mentioned the readmission programs. Are there any other solutions that healthcare systems are using to meet the demand on readmission programs? Anything else that you want to share on that?
Yeah, so, you know, hospitals, healthcare systems, patient health information, exchanges, a lot of these things, a lot of these systems were basically being built and put in place over the past several years. Now hospitals and healthcare systems, you know, I look at it as an ecosystem, are realizing that they need to get their house in order, if you will, in relation to IT. IT has changed the face of IT, the integration of the various types of services that you're providing or have to provide in relation to data management these days. A lot of those systems are no longer needed to be on site. So we're starting to see kind of this virtualization, or a lot of people like to call it the cloud. Everyone talks about the cloud. So as IT administrators in various systems in relation to healthcare, as they are starting to become more of a business part of the equation for hospitals, and they're not just maintainers and sustainers of hardware anymore or software. They're running true actual business, and there's a lot of quality standards and measurements and goals and objectives that they have to meet as a part of just operating a call center. You know, I'm working with companies that are having to manage new ways of tracking analytics on their call centers. And so we're starting to see from the very base, the core of these healthcare systems change. And so with that has opened up new ways for them to articulate adding new service lines that provide these levels of access to patients remotely. So I see, or we're seeing the trends and where things are going, really starting to align with remote patient monitoring and how that articulates from, you know, from a what we call a pre-surgical standpoint. So when you're coming in for surgeries, a lot of say urgent or I'd say surgical centers or ambulatory centers, they're reaching out and they're guiding you in. They're setting a set of parameters for you to adhere to prior to coming into surgery. I mean, that is probably one of the smartest things I've seen. You know, when you're coming in for various types of surgery, inpatient, outpatient, they want the best you coming in the door. Now, if some emergencies happen, you're not going to be able to fight off everything. But if your anesthesiologist can get a hold of you 2 weeks prior to you coming in and regiment your diet, get you set up on maybe some various types of healthcare-related reporting, and, you know, get you checking your blood pressure, stepping on the scale, and then as you come in, he's, you know, the anesthesiologist and the surgeons and the team have more information on your particular situation and your particular biometric mean that you're providing to them. And so I think that's important that we're seeing those types of programs. Now, once you're in, you know, everybody talks about hospital infection. They always talk about, you know, there's a very high indicator of success in hospitals these days and failure in hospitals. So there's a big focus on that. So you're starting to see some of the data, internal data systems that are tracking literally how many times people are washing their hands. I mean, and those types of things are very, very important. And so you're seeing kind of these big data quadrants becoming filtered and becoming better used and dashboarded. And you're starting to see the CMO, the CEO, the CIO reading from the same script, and they're all kind of in it together now. So they're all part of the same program moving forward. There's not silos of different things that mean different things to everybody on the team, you know, like it used to. It's everybody really has to line up. And then when the patients say, released or you know, to the home or to their local primary, their local care provider, or say their local team of care providers, including their family members, we're starting to see that kind of integration happen at the patient level and the caregiver level around the patients, where 80% of the caregiving comes from your family members as opposed to, say, clinicians. However, tie them together and you create a really unique behavioral change model. And that's where most of the success will happen, is in cultivating the proper team around the patient. So you're seeing how not only coming in, now you're in the hospital, they're tracking your progress there. Then when you leave, say within the, you know, the 30-day admit window, they're tying you to another, to that same system that you're already used to. You know, so that's a very smart way, I think, of articulating patient care, especially at a very high risk level when you talk about surgery. Of course, chronic care is the same sort of similar way. However, adherence to medications and some of these other things that are very, very problematic. And then from a cost perspective, we're now seeing billable ways for Medicare patients and the private insurers to cover high-risk patients that are, you know, further away from specialist or specialty care, especially out in remote areas. So we're seeing large case management groups articulate remote patient care and remote patient monitoring. And another, I think, large player that's going to build that bridge for us that gets closer to home, I'm speculating a little bit, because of remote patient monitoring isn't as widely spread as I would love it to be, or we would all love it to be. But retail has also come into the space. And when I mean retail, from a retail pharmacy, a retail grocery, you see urgent care retail type of stores and shops kind of embracing ways for patients to engage at that level. Because we have to also remember that the pharmacies are a part of the care continuum as well. And if the patient comes off of the medications, or say doesn't take them properly and ends up back in care at that local hospital where they were discharged, they also get penalized for that. So not only does the local care provider who's in charge of the aftercare, but also the pharmacy, the pharmacists who have had, you know, received the order from the hospital or from the primary or from their local care physician to provide that level of care, which is their medications, they want to also be at the point of care with the patient as well, and have an option available. And we're starting to see hospitals team up with the retail industry, and I think that's a smart move. I think retail moves faster than, say, your big hospitals or even your urgent cares. So I think we're starting to see a smartening up of the industry. People are looking at analytics more. They're understanding more, making business decisions and using them in a business through business intelligent types of formulas. And I think that's important. And we're making sense of that from the IT side. So when we're supporting clients as they're needing to develop solutions, we can look as deep into their infrastructure as we need to get it organized so that they can provide a trajectory and a model that meets not only the patient demands and the outcomes they're shooting for, but also can align with their financial means. Because if it's too expensive, or if it's not sustainable because it's too new, it hasn't been tested at a large scale, it's going to have difficulties getting in the air and scaling. So we have to be cognizant of that, we can't get siloed again. So we have to keep facing the interoperability roadmap that was just recently released. There are some gaps in it. Based on some of the scenarios I just provided, when a local patient is discharged from the hospital, goes to the local primary care provider, say a national provider group picks them up, provides them with some, you know, basic acute level services via, you know, their tablet, and doesn't hand off that information to the local group that that patient is attached to, there's a break in continuity and interoperability. So we have to address these things. We have to keep in mind there are, the system around the patient is accountable. Everybody has to be held accountable. There can't be any sort of, you know, loophole. We have to fill those in quickly. So that's
wow,
kind of
that's
what
a,
I see.
That's a ton. Yeah, that is such a ton of activity in 2015, and you've even given us good insight in what we can expect in 2016. So lots of good work being done and lots more good work to come. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your insights on the highlights in telehealth in 2015 and even giving us a peek into what's coming in 2016.
It was my pleasure, and I look forward to 2016 and all that's coming together. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, we hope to have another chance to talk with you about more of what we can start to see in early 2016.
We've been talking with Matt Jansen, Chief Business Development Specialist for Iron Bow Healthcare Solutions. Thanks for listening.